Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And my co-host, Robert.
Lewa.
And this week, we have a special episode. Normally, we would be breaking down the biggest tournaments in the land, but much like the famed hero Boba Fett in the Star Wars lore, who only was on screen for 6.5 minutes, sometimes you only need 2 or 3 pages from Games Workshop to completely change the competitive landscape. So we'll be talking about the balanced data slate. No sense talking about tournaments from last week. They were not using it because most of those armies are going to be no longer used the same way we've seen them before. So we have broken it down for you and give you a quick overview of the balanced data slate. For those of you who haven't seen this, it is available on the Warhammer community page. It's not in the FAQ section. It actually has its own article. So if you had bookmarked the FAQ section, you may have missed it at this point. It's mentioned 3 simple pages, but boy, lots of content on here. So who would like to start with the big universal match play rules change?
Seeing as I'm the one that actually gets affected by it, I guess I'll cover it. Insert sad trumpet noises here. Just womp, womp,
womp. If I could find something. Keep going.
But yes, so the overall universal play rule is the fact that they're limiting the number of aircraft. So if you're playing a smaller game of a combat patrol or an incursion, which 500,000 points, you can only have one plane or aircraft keyword specifically. So Tau with your multiple remoras, as Richard Siegler had kind of cough joked at. You can only have one aircraft model. It's not an aircraft unit. So you can't take multiple planes if they can be squadroned. In a normal strike force game, so 2,000 points, you get to have 2. And in onslaught games, you can only have 3. So no more 6 AdMech flyers, no more 4 orc planes, and the mythical Iron Hands flyer brigade that used to exist back at the end of 8th edition. Those ideas are now fully out the window.
I thought this was an interesting change. I was half expecting them to simply remove the flyer slots from patrols, so you'd have to take a battalion. And in there, you only get 2 slots, but I guess it's pretty easy to make double battalion armies if you have the right points. But yeah, capping it at 2 each, it's a lot of players who are looking at close to $100, $120 worth of models that, sorry, they will not be allowed on the table anymore.
I think by a lot, really what you mean is a lot of Adeptus Mechanicus and a lot of Orc players.
I think currently, but we never knew what the new Craft World Codex was going to bring. And, Craft World's were the original Air Force nonsense, with all the Exarchs and going out there along with the Hemlock Fighters. Those things were ridiculous out there. And to Robert's point there, yeah, Iron Hands had their flyer spam for a long time. So yeah, it's a big change, and it's just very interesting that the way they've kind of curled it back. So
yeah, the other things that it can kind of curb when you actually think about it, also stuff like some Forge World models. Like I know Chaos Space Marines and regular Space Marines can sometimes want to bring a Dreadclaw or Charybdis. I honestly can't remember if those have the aircraft keywords or not, but those things are big and expensive. So if you're cut down to 2 of those, if you were trying to run like 3 of them as kind of a drop pod spam kind of idea, too bad, so sad.
It's funny you mentioned, I totally forgot. I think it was end of 7th. The big hotness was the Fire Raptor. Remember that? It was a big Forge World model.
Oh, yes.
Tons of guns. Oh, and I'm flying. Sorry, you won't be able to touch me. So I interact when I want to interact. Right now, it's a shooting phase. So I want to reach out and hurt as many of you as I can. So it's like, oh my goodness. So yeah, the flyers are, still at this point, the whole flyer mechanic, I think there was room for improvement just from playing other games, both others, science fiction games as well as historical games that just somehow aircraft and 40K were just never quite the right scale for both hitting power, durability, as well as flying. You know, they could pivot on a point and then, you know, fly off when they wanted to. It was kind of bizarre. But, well, you'll have to worry about two of them. So now, yeah, by the way, anyone's interested, I have a Razor Wing fighter as well as a Void Raven bomber available, newly constructed. I'll take that off my hands. But several of the other factions also got a few changes. So, right, Necron's got some new life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Necron's finally got some more units with the core keyword. So as opposed to, I think there were maybe only four originally. Right. We've now got core on the Canoptech Anthracites from Forge World, the Canoptech Reanimator, the Wraiths, Flayed Ones, Locust Destroyers, and the Heavy Destroyers, Ophidian Destroyers, Scorpec Destroyers, and the Triarch Praetorians. So that is a much longer list.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, it was one of those weird when the codexes first came out. It was like, Necrons, you get four core choices. Okay, we see where this is going. And then the Space Marine Codex goes out and says, okay, there are only four choices that are not core. Good grief, what happened here? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest thing that...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray, sorry. So when thinking about that core word, the biggest thing that I can kind of see being a humongous benefit, the Akinthrates. One of the few things that Necrons have access to Meltaguns. Now instead of having to pay the extra points for the control node, now you can potentially might well be done them off of an overlord. So that way you're not having to babysit them as much.
Right, what do you think?
Yeah. It opens up, you know, quite a bit of things for the models having this. Yes, one of the big and most obvious ones is the My Will Be Done. One of the things that a lot of people in the various Necron chats have been talking about also is Illuminor Zeras. He's a Necron that got the new model during the Psychic Awakening. Because he's got the rights of reanimation, where you can select a friendly core unit within 6 inches, and you can just reanimate one destroyed model.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's also got
D3 Warriors, I think?
Yeah, D3 Warriors, if you do Warriors with it. He's also got Mechanical Augmentation, and you do this at the end of the movement phase. You select one friendly Necron core unit within 6, and then you roll a D3. That unit either gets +1 to Strength, +1 to Toughness, or +1 to Ballistic Skill for the rest of the game. Now, each unit can only get that once, but you could be throwing +1 Strength to Scorpec Destroyers. You could be giving +1 Ballistic Skill to the Locust Destroyers. +1 Toughness.
I've seen that combo a few times. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and Illuminor Zeras has the Illuminor ability where he can use the rights of reanimation twice a turn. So a lot of people are talking about him being possibly being at least a must-have in lists.
There's no role for that, right? You just in the movement phase, you just reanimate
In the command phase, you just reanimate a core or warrior unit.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know the overall idea of if you still want to play the king, you can take the king and Zeras. Obviously, it's a bigger points commitment. But the fact that you can now conceivably bring other things that the king can also buff is a huge thing, because you can might as well be done two things off of the king. You can augment destroyers to be like T6, I think, depending on their toughness. I haven't played them in a long time. But the idea of toughness 6 wraiths is kind of gross.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so the gross. Auras. Yeah, the auras that the king gives to Kor include reroll the hit roll for ranged, reroll wound for melee, add one to the move characteristic for move or advances, and add one to attack.
Yeah, that. Now the king can actually be aggressive with following up behind stuff like wraiths or flayed ones or anything else, so that way you're not having to just turtle up behind like 40 warriors.
Yeah. So I know the audience isn't going to understand this, but Eric, do you remember the Necron list I played against you with that last time we played?
I'm trying to remember the specifics, so... I do remember. I'll try to also get mixed up with your list from long time ago when you had the two big blocks of Praetorian, Triarch Praetorians, which I'm like, ooh, they're now Kor. But I do remember you had Silent King and Void Dragon, which were very hard to deal with.
Plus, I had 3 10-man squads of Warriors, 2 minimum squads of the Scorpec Destroyers, 2 minimum squads of the Ophidian Destroyers, and a 3-man squad of the Locust Heavy Destroyers, along with a couple of Cryptechs. That list, almost everything is now Kor in that list. Except for the characters.
Crazy. Now, would you be taking them with the Build Your Own Dynasty? I forgot what this is called. The Eternal Expansionist, where you get the extra movement. Because that way you can get the Kor units up further.
Potentially. Yeah.
So almost. Yeah.
The Dynasty choice is definitely more of a meta call. Like the Eternal Conquerors Expansionist combo is still really, really good because obviously it gives movement. But depending on your local meta, so like if you're running into more psychic things, the Zarakin, the fact that they have the mortal wound ignoring, and also the deny the psychic power strats and stuff like that,
right,
could be better. It's just personal flavor at that point, but Expansionist and Conquerors is still probably the best all comers choice.
And then all those units also benefit from a lot of the Silent King's abilities as well. So it's like, oh, just things that you probably have in your hobby box have suddenly become incredibly useful.
Yep. I'm looking at my 3 sets of flayed ones from my Pariah Nexus boxes.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
How do you think orcs are now faring without their aircraft and that whole speed wall list?
I can sum it up as to say we'll manage, but the overall idea behind the list, since I was able to play about a game and a half today, the buggies being a unit of 3... because of you can't take multiple buggies anymore, is definitely a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lack of mobility and the lack of firing angles and stuff like that you can use with non-line of sight kind of goes out the window. I mean, the scrap jets were already kind of unwieldy because you kept them together to abuse certain things, like the amount of shots that you throw at something or the amount of mortal wounds you needed on a target. But the squig buggies, it's either a feast or famine of shots into something, because you can get potentially 36 shots that hit on 4s and potentially overkill something for your freebooters trigger if you still play freebooters, and the compensation of not having the 3 planes, or 3 or 4 planes, to just fly behind your opponent and go, I can shoot whatever I want, definitely makes it a much tighter game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, the fun bit is that the restriction of the buggies only affects the non-character buggies. So in the list, if you don't run a war boss on Warbike and a war trike, or a beast boss and a war trike, any combination of those characters, if you just wanted as many big vehicle buggies as you wanted, you could run two Deathkiller war trikes still, because they're they are the only buggy that is not restricted by the data slate.
True. And those things are a beast to deal with. And that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you can turn one into a dedicated mortal wound missile with use of ramming speed, the roadkiller warlord trait, and the shock-a-hole custom job, where once he's stuck in, if you don't kill him, you're just taking mortal wounds as you get zapped.
Right. In that last event, Justin was rocking the double kill rig. Was he just ahead of his time, or did he uncover something we dismissed?
Well, double kill rig, the kill rigs are really, really good because of the fact that they're essentially land raiders. The only problem is right now is that the overall meta, there's enough strength eight, high damage, high AP shooting, that unless you babysit the kill rigs with a custom force field, then they only rely off of their six up invuln for being beast naga units. So there is definitely play there. Like, I know our teammate Ben is trying to think of doing a list with two DACA jets and two kill rigs, because the kill rigs are good for freebooters in a sense, because you're not having to roll to hit with them at all. And given you get off a psychic power, you can get up to three shots with a last cannon into something and try to get the freebooter activation. But I do definitely see people sliding away from freebooters as the dominant faction. They might do more mixed clans, so like more freebooters and Death Skulls, or Evil Suns or Bad Moons, like just something that isn't completely dedicated into the massive shooting that freebooters have to use. So I know I'm going to be working on a speed mob list, so I kind of need two more buggies.
Ray, what are your thoughts on Imperial Knights?
Well, there's no point in talking about one without talking about both. So
true. Yes. Oversight my part. Both.
So for both
Imperial Knights. Big stomping robots.
A lot of people have been saying it for a while that something needs to be done with Imperial Knights because it's such a low model count army. We've talked about multiple times in various places. In fact, back at the Akatio Open, I had made mention of it, hoping to see something happen for them. I think I was talking to you about it, Eric. And funny enough, they did. So all vehicles with the Imperial Knights or Chaos Knights faction keywords gain the following ability. Towering Foe. So the model counts as 5 models when determining control of an objective marker. If it has the Titanic keyword, it instead counts as 10. Also, if every unit from your army has either the Chaos Knight or Imperial Knight faction keyword, excluding, of course, the Agents of the Imperium or Unaligned, then all the Armiger class or Wardog models from your army gain OBSEC.
Just exactly what Knights needed. Because it was so easy just to be like, I'm just going to play primary, because they're going to blow me off the table. But I'm just going to stand on objectives with two guys, and they're just going to laugh at them, because I take it every time. That's not going to be the case moving forward.
Yeah, I know the armiger size knights are usually aggressively pointed enough if you take them with the auto cannons. I think that's the cheaper one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be the Warglaive, which is the one with the Melta and the chainsaw. Either way, they're cheap enough to where they can take a good like 6 or 7 of these things and run maybe like 2 big knights. And now at that point, you're having to deal with these giant robots that can move something like 10 or 12 inches across the table and are suddenly holding an objective. And you look at them and go, this is my objective. No, it's my objective.
Yeah, shifting them was the next problem. You're fast and durable becomes a little dangerous.
Yep.
So no, I think this is interesting. I guess where I'm on the fence about is 5 and 10 models enough?
Well, I think it'd be a little much to go to increase it, because the next demo that would make sense would be 10 and 20 or 10 and 15. And in that case, I think it'd be just a little much, because it's a little too easy to just have 2 models taking the place of 20 models. And yeah, it takes a lot to be able to, you know, take out, you know, 2 Armigers, unless you're putting a lot of your army to it. That's not to say it can't be done.
I guess.
But.
True. What is an armature profile? Is it toughness, what, 7 compared to the other knights? Or is it T8?
I think they are T7.
I'm going to double check.
Because they're smaller. Because I know they have the same thing where they have a 3-up armor and a 5-up invuln to shooting attacks.
And that 5-up invuln's when they're. That's part of their ion shield, or is that something different?
Yeah, no, that's just part of their ion shield. That's something that all knights have, regardless of their size.
I don't think I played a knight since knight started. I know they changed up some of the rules, so I'm like,
Yeah. I know our buddy Follows hasn't busted out his knights since the Sard Ranked Edition, because, yeah, no, he can't play the mission, and he always gets trounced, so he playing something else at the moment.
Right.
Now, the funny reflection of knights versus some other titanic stompy robots, stuff like Storm Surges, Stompas, Baneblades, stuff like that, all of those still only count as 1 model.
Whoops.
So, that's just a funny coincidence of like, other big stompy models only count as 1 model, but knights count as this many.
Well, you can't. You're not going to see somebody play only Storm Surges. Whereas, if you want to play an Imperial Knights faction, your choices are Imperial Knights. I would not want them to have this rule if Knights had an actual infantry unit. If they had one or two infantry units that could actually just be like a troop's choice, I'd have a completely different opinion. But the fact is a unit with Lord of Wars, basically. So they need something to at least be, I'm not even saying competitive. Your average match, just regular match play game, they would need something to be able to win.
Well, some of the small changes, and we'll get to some more of the big changes. But the small change here was that Chaos Space Marines. Interesting enough, death to every false emperor. So apparently they get exploding sixes. Now works against every army, not just the Imperium. Interesting enough, also they took off the tag. It is unmodified. So, modified. So you can still add the +1s to hit from prescience and trigger extra hits on a 5+. So that's pretty handy.
I was listening to that first experience. Preferred enemies, and I didn't catch how they did it, but I guess it's possible with Black Legion to get it off on a 4+.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that too. It's specifically a combination of, I think, a Slaanesh, a Mark of Slaanesh unit with a Banner of Excess. Or it's some combination of a piece of war gear and obviously having like Abaddon around. Abaddon makes it happen on 5s, and then the piece of war gear adds +1 to that, so you can get that unit to have death to the false everybody on 4+.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. So, yeah. Curious to see all that, all the stacking up. I'm sure there's other ways to stack those that Chaos players have probably remembered and have to re-dig through their own notes to find out. How did I do that again? Did that before the last FAQ. But I also like how they're kind of reversing some of these rules. And because that, you know, it wasn't too long ago that this was in place and reduced the stacking. So,
yeah, I think it's because of the fact that because of the rule is such a specific, originally such a specific wording against a super faction, and the current meta, there's only really one dominating Imperial faction, and that's AdMech. They just decided to, you know what, we're gonna throw them a bone because we're not gonna give them their second wound yet, to allow them to get exploding hits against everybody rather than just against this.
So pretty wild stuff.
Hey listeners, this is Raymond with the Extreme Honest Podcast here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in the cardboard cases. They're a great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. You can just swap out those boxes and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy. The boxes help protect your models. And when you order, they come fast, the order is right, and for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com, and when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminatus podcast.
So admittedly, my least favorite army in 40K has got to be Astra Militarum. And so when I saw these updates, it's one of those that kind of went, huh, I don't know what that means. So,
yeah. So the fact that the Lehman Russ got shoved to a 2-up armor save, obviously is a good thing, because a Lehman Russ having an armor save equivalent to a Space Marine, people are going to put last cannons into a Lehman Russ. They're not going to put last cannons into a Space Marine unless they really have to. So that's a nice balance of life change. It actually can get the Lehman Russ up to a 1-up or a 0-up save with the right buffs and psychic powers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then for the tank orders, the fact that you can have a tank commander now apply the orders to any vehicle,
Excluding Titanic.
Yeah. Like, obviously you can't order a Baneblade, but it's like, you don't see very many Baneblades on the table unless someone really likes that variant. So you'll most likely see them. You'll see one tank commander with some kind of long range gun, maybe babysitting the Manticores or the Wyverns in the back. So that way you can go, oh, you reroll ones to hit or plus one to hit, whatever the actual tank orders are, since I also don't play guard, so I don't know all the orders off of hand, except for move, 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 because, yeah, move, move, move is great. Speaking of orders, the actual voice of commands ability, you can give it to regiment infantry, excluding officers, but it's you issue the order to one unit, and then the issue gets bounced to a second unit that isn't the officer. So you can have your commissar yelling at someone, unless commissars can't issue orders. But either way, you have an officer issue any kind of order except for move, 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 and two units are going to get that order. Now, the second unit does have to be within 6 inches of the initial one getting it. So you can have a big old blob of like 30 conscripts or something be your order sponge. And then that order gets passed off to the actual unit that you want the order on. So you can have double tap, reroll ones, the bring it down, back into the fight, like a fixed bayonet, all these other probably really useful orders. But the only thing that you don't get to do is you can't double move two units, which I think is a fair thing, because having double moving guard would be terrifying.
Yeah.
But overall, with the research that I've done, looking, listening to the Art of War talk about it and some other places, the Guard are still kind of in the same place. They're having additionitis, where they're playing the old rules, old abilities, and it doesn't have the oomph to get them into the big tango with everyone else.
So moving on towards the one I've been trying to avoid for the better part of 6 months, the Drukhari updates. And interesting enough, there's a lot of people overall, even from Drukhari players, are going like, yep, I'm okay with this. And looking at some of the big changes coming through all this, some interesting changes. And when you think about them in kind of retrospect, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Maybe this was something we should have changed, but I'm not going to go through all of them. But some key highlights. Yes, the succubus is now more expensive, went up significantly. Suddenly, in retrospect, Lilith Hesperax being only 10 points more now is a much more attractive look in terms of paying extra for the show stealer. So that's the additional upgrade. So all of a sudden, you know, Lilith comes with that stock already. So that's an interesting layer. Expect to see a lot more covens, because those were most of the points reductions. Yes, and I did say points reductions. Homunculus went down. Talos went down. Grotesques went down. Rex did not, by the way. So you're seeing a lot of those, and especially where the meta has been going, where you want some durability to survive that first turn alpha sprite, is, you know, that was the way to go for Drukhari players, and now those key units are now cheaper than ever. So some key areas there. The biggest, weirdest one I'm still trying to figure out is the Raider Dark Lance. So the Raiders stayed the same, but the Dark Lance went up so significantly. And so now you really have to look at bringing in a couple of Venoms, but I'm also taking a second look at the Disruptor Cannon, which was the weapon of choice in the past. So that was interesting to see there. Planes went down, but you can only take two of them. Sorry. So good news is you can put more of them on the table, but then you can't put more of them on the table. So it's like, ah. Oh. But the court remained unchanged. A lot of the Hellions and Reavers and all those didn't change. Witches went up significantly, and so we may see a lot less of those. So, as well as Incubi, but I think Incubi are still just money in the bank at the new cost of 18 points per model. They're just hack and slash their way through just about anything. Mm-hmm. Which is what they were designed to do, and they never did until this edition. So I'm making no apologies to any of my opponents, as I feel 10 of them. So,
yeah, I mean, that's 180 points total for two units or one giant unit that could conceivably chop a knight down in a single turn with pretty high rolls.
Pretty high rolls, some modifications here and there. Yes, okay. And that's like saying, 30 guards, I'm going to take out a knight.
But, I mean, in the current meta, Incubi are going into things that are T6, T7. You don't see very many of them running into T8 stuff unless you're using them to literally kill it off, or at least whittle it down so Drazar can do it.
Right. So there's a lot of that going on there. So, yeah, it's one of those things where now you're going to have to think about, you know, making some choices. You know, something's going to have to be. So much like the Adamek players, which we're going to talk about next, on average, most Drukhari players, if you saw some of the net lists that we've been running and talking about on this show, will be running now close to 200 points over. So you're looking at about a 10% increase. For you two guys, both of you played my current configuration of Drukhari. I got some bad news for you. It actually went down 20 points.
Because the last time I played you, Eric, you had a unit of Kronos and a unit of Talos.
Yes. Two units of Talos. So, yeah, two units of Talos.
Okay. Well, when I played him last, he also brought a Void Raven Bomber and a Razor Wing Fire. Yeah,
that's true. It's great. I brought the double Void Raven. That's right. I did practice with that. Yeah, that was a, I don't know, just didn't work for me. I know a lot of people rave about it, but just for some reason did not work out. Yeah, when the list, when we played your Custodes, think of that list. That's, that list is the, my tried and true. So yeah, I have five, yeah, five Talos and a Kronos, and yeah.
Because I think my, the game I'm thinking about with you was when I first got the Orc Codex, and I know I had a War Boss in Mega Armor. He jumped through a building. He left one Mandrake alive, and then proceeded to get melted.
Yeah, it's all about the trading up. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I made a mistake in leaving that Mandrake where they were. That was a bad, because they're like automatic rod generator farms, and they just, you know, going to lose those guys early. But yeah, yeah, it's one of the reasons why I play the army. You know, it's a great counterpunch army, and it's really good at that. But they still die to a stiff breeze. I mean, that's one thing everybody still doesn't quite realize is Incubi are the only thing in the Codex with three up safe. So, well, yes, Talos do too. But
I mean, but those are monsters, though.
Exactly. So, yeah, even, you know, Succubi die pretty quick. So, the T3 model. So, now on the other hand, AdMech also got, you know, they got trimmed. I don't think they got hit hard, but they do, things do add up pretty quickly. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, with the restriction on two flyers, the AdMech list that we saw Manichima as well run, and there were the London GT was abruptly halted in the final round in 20 minutes as he tabled his opponent. Not only did those flyers go up in points, but yes, they're restricted to two for the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what you'll probably end up seeing now mainly is if they don't want to bring Killy Flyers, which are the Stratoraptors, which are the gunships, they'll probably end up bringing double Fusilovs for more movement control, because I believe those are the bombers.
It's possible. I've been seeing all kinds of things, and that's where I'm like, if it, probably the, you know, rather than going to nitty gritty, you know, of what changed in the Mechanicus, and everyone's like, oh, is this the end of the Mechanicus reign? I don't think so. I mean, there's still a lot of good stuff in this codex.
A unit of 20 Rangers that can get a 2-up armor save and transhumaned and all this other stuff for like a little over 200 points now, because I think Rangers went up in points.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still very, very dangerous. Yeah.
And it's still a thing. I mean, it's something, yes, Rangers did go up a point, so it's a little more expensive than it was before, but they did not change the restriction on the unit size, so that's these, it's really just, okay, you know, you build your army around that, you can still get that done. So that hasn't changed. Cerberus Raiders going up by a lot, that's a pretty big change. So, but I'm seeing a lot of, like, I heard a rumor about some of the top players now leaning into Castellans, Castellan Robots, because they went down in price. So making, so we may see some new Castellan Robot style lists. You know, Electro Priests are still out there, and you know, the old Thermite mortar drill, excuse me.
Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure from talking with our local AdMech guy, I think the Cataphrons also went down in points, the fatter troop choices. So there's some play that might come for them.
I really hope so. Those are my favorites. That's actually the one thing I was disappointed about, but this, you know, back in the old days, when they, wasn't even that long ago, you know, it was Cult Mechanicus and Scutari were separate codices.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to be pure Cult Mechanicus, you only had Cataphrons. And when they first came out, I was like, that's a really interesting design choice that your main troop choice is a T5 3-wound model. Very much like Ogre Kingdoms at the time for Warhammer Fantasy. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And then when they combined the books together, and then with this most recent version, it's like, oh, they're just basically a robotic guard. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The and like when it, and to touch on something that's definitely brought more more abundantly, the Belastari. I'm pretty sure it was the Cognis last cans that also went up in points. I don't know if the base points for the Bellastari also went up, but overall, the fact that you could have a bunch of Laz cannons on a pretty fast moving model. Yeah, it's not exactly the fairest of things. I mean, they're vehicles and they explode just like work buggies do, but it's still that thing comes with two Laz cannons.
Yeah, those things are so, I believe they lost a core keyword. So that was one.
Yeah, that was an earlier FAQ but at that point you could make them Mars and do a certain combination to almost get the same effect anyway.
Right.
But yeah, AdMech will not be going anywhere anytime soon, even with these adjustments. People will just pivot and adjust to bring whatever they want and figure out a new way to play the game.
Yep.
And table people in a half hour.
Yep. So AdMech's going to still be dominant. Drukhari is still going to be dominant. From what I can tell, orcs probably will still just have to change a little bit, but they could still be dominant. Now, I don't know, Robert, do you have any thoughts on that?
For orcs being dominant, it's just going to take some testing of people with actual events with the data slate in place to see what comes out of it, because orcs could definitely take GTs with freebooters initially, but you'd have to win your roll off every round to almost guarantee your win, because 90% win rate going first, supposedly by 40k stats. I think what's going to happen is orcs are going to take a little bit of time to recover happening to play larger buggy units by dropping a plane, and it's just going to take a little bit of time for some orc players to get comfy not being able to move 45 inches across the table.
So a couple of new builds probably come out of that as well. So,
yep, double kill rig would definitely become a thing.
I've been hearing a lot about that. Yep. And of course, Justin was trying to figure out a way to do a triple kill rig, which I was like, oh,
that's 600 points.
Yeah, that's scary. So, Ray, thoughts on Necrons? Do you think they're going to climb the ladder with all these changes?
A bit. I don't think they're going to take the spot of any of the top three. Although I do think that there is a better chance that we could see them popping up in the top five in future events.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really dig through Necron specifically, but having, you know, all these units now with core, and it's just like, okay, what could benefit from core before? And I know the Silent King gives out a ton of buffs, and we already touched on where you will be done already. So I'm just like, wow, there's going to be something out there. It's going to be like, what does that do? And so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Necron players come through.
Yeah, I would like to see the good old undead robot guys continue to yell people to get off their lawn.
Speaking of big footsteps and lawns, knights, yeah, definitely see them moving up a level. I forgot the gentleman's name. At Ocotillo, he had the black and bone style knights. Had several of the armature class. And, man, he must have been like, where was this update 4 days ago? Because he was in it in a lot of games, and the army, as always, just could not hold enough objectives and loses out on primary. And never has issue killing stuff. Was enough guns on those things. Mm-hmm. So now, yeah, we'll see. You know, I think they'll go up, but definitely a swing in the right direction. I'm surprised it wasn't like this before, but because this rule had this in place back in the old assault rules, when you figured out if you were outnumbered or not and how many extra wounds you took. And the dreadnoughts counted as 5 and tanks counted as 10 or something like that. So it's an old rule kind of redone, so I'm glad I brought it back.
Yeah, or something like, because I'm pretty sure that these rules are going to carry over to the Knights books that are probably going to come out next year. They might alter the numbers a little bit, like maybe make Armagers like a 3 and stuff like that, but it's still up in the air because obviously Knights need a very large update to be able to properly play all of the missions and not just continue to lose out on primary because, yeah, they can still only stand on one objective at a time.
Yep.
You can't exactly cover the table in Knights unless you bring one large Knight and like 8 Armagers.
I should bring up a key point. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of armies, but we've not talked about quite a few other ones. So some of them are pretty obvious. Nothing for Gene Sealer Cults, because, well, and nothing for Adeptus Custodes. They're getting a Codex. Hopefully in the next 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks.
I will stop being a mushroom man and I will go to back to being a janitor if I need to.
And we know Tau are supposedly first quarter of the next year, so right after the holidays. We know that's coming through, so we didn't expect to see any of those three factions on here. But a lot of players were like, how come nothing for Tyranids? Well, they just got an update in the Octaris book, which, by the way, if people are doubting if Tyranids can be effective with the new Octaris book, you don't even have to look at our tournament. You can look at our tournament coverage brought to you by Tactical Tortoise, who did a wonderful review of the event, as well as Tyler's McCormick's number one winning list going 5-0 at that particular event.
And you mean Tyler Hepler, right?
Hepler, I'm sorry. McCormick's the guy who had the Warhound Titan, which still only counts as one model, by the way. That's pretty funny.
Yes, Tyler Hepler did have a very wonderful run with Forces of the Hive Mind. It was majority Tyranids, and it was majority Leviathan. So obviously putting the new rules from Octarius into play, so that way everyone can see exactly how beneficial it is. And then a tad of Gene Sealer Cults, which plays well into Flyers, because Flyers can't enter blip zones. Yeah. So
I did a really nice job with that. So check out Tactical Tortoise this previous week, and you'll see the review of that. So we got Tyranids covered. But I have to say, Chaos players still, for some reason, one wound Marines. I don't understand.
It's the occasional bone.
Yeah, you did get a small bone here, but does this put you over the top? No. It's still tough sledding ahead, but yeah, I don't understand what's holding it up at this point. Demons, nothing. Craft World, Eldar, nothing.
I definitely think that on the topic of Chaos, there is some other rumors floating around that after Tau maybe get dropped in January, late January, early February, that's kind of the internet rumor, that Chaos is finally going to be split back up into, you have your World Eaters, you have your Emperor's Children, you have your other Chaos Space Marines, and then obviously your Demons Codex. And there's going to have to be a big overhaul on how the ally system works, so that way you can have the classic Khorne Demonkin army without having to make multiple detachments, or heck, even breaking your Battleforge bonus by having demons inside your normal Chaos Space Marine detachments.
Yeah, I really like that Demonkin list. And that was funny because that was a weird time. You know, everybody was like, oh, Khorne Demonkin, what a cool concept. So the Zeech one will be coming out soon, right? And then the Nurgle one, and then the Slaanesh one. Yeah, never happened.
Yeah. Obviously, it's every Chaos player's dream to have the four big legions have their own books, and then the Chaos Space Marines be similar to the Loyalist Marines. Like, I know I would give up my Xenos and Loyalist badge to collect a World Eater's army and become a little minion of Khorne. Because, yeah, Blood for the Blood God and all that good stuff.
Mm.
But
gonna join Mark, huh?
I mean, I already kind of have, because wah. Nah, the idea of like a Zeech kin a Tzeentch Demon Kim book would be really neat, because then you could see Thousand Suns and Pink Horrors be on the same table and not break the Thousand Suns bonuses, and demons get all their demon stuff.
Right. So it'd be kind of cool and see all that come bringing it all into there. I would just love to see Chaos Space Marines get the same treatment that the Space Marine books had. Is here's the book, then here's your supplements for each legion. So, you know, you get an Alpha Legion supplement, you get a Black Legion supplement, and all that. Mm-hmm. It'd be really cool to see. Don't know if we will see that, but fingers crossed on that one. And I'm sure I'm missing another faction. That person's probably screaming at us through the internet as we speak.
Well, because I know there's also Adeptus Sororitas and...
Well, I mean, they've already come out. I think the big thing, the Harlequins, Craft World, he didn't mention them.
Well, no, Eric had mentioned them earlier.
Oh, did he? Didn't mention Harlequins.
Yeah, nope, didn't mention Harlequins. That's a good point, right?
Yeah, the in general, there is just a lot of factions that need to get brought into the current level of the game, so that way everyone can have a nice, fair, fun time.
Right. Still, some changes that need to be made. I still think probably the biggest one I can think of is, you know, a lot of the psychic armies. You need a psychic phase to get your defenses up for some reason. Mechanicus, all their canticles are start of turn as opposed to command phase. So even if they go first or second, they get all their defenses up. I'm like, never sits so well with me. But yeah, I'd be curious to see what all those new, you know, all the new books when they get up to speed look like. Hopefully get some, you know, decent models in play, because there's quite a few ranges that need a deep fix. So we'll see what that happens as well. But in terms of Sisters, I didn't want to glance over those, by the way. Actually, Sisters secretly got a huge buff because the Speedwall list was one of their worst matchups. So with that being kind of taking them back a little bit, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sisters being back on the top tables at this point, along with Grey Knights and Thousand Suns. So.
Yeah, because I know Sisters kind of fall into the same issue that Drukhari actually do into some games, where you need to trade up with your units because your stuff dies so quickly. Sisters do that really well, because as soon as their retributors pop out, kill one thing, the entire opposing army looks at them and goes, yeah, you die now. and you don't get a second shooting phase with them.
So lots to see. Lots to see how the list now kind of change themselves around a little bit. And I'm pretty happy with a lot of these changes here. I think about the best news is this is more to come. You know, they're looking at more of these coming out every 90 days. So I've been looking forward to make some changes. And so if there is something spotted, we're not going to have to endure for ridiculous long times to wait for a change. I think it could be healthy for the game. So I'm very excited about this.
I'm curious to see if the next one does come out in the kind of time that they said it would.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an in-between time. So I'd be curious to see. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out like 2 weeks after LVL. So that because it'll be on site and they'll have to see actual interaction with the armies and stuff like that. And by that point, we've got possibly the third codex release since we've talked. Realistically, I see some real... I know Black Templar have been out for a little while, but that'd be, really good to see them in the tournament swing of things, and that the hobby lag should be over by then.
Yeah, the Black Templars are definitely going to take the high horse of the best Marine faction, because they have a lot of extra tools that the other Marines don't, like extra movement and all that other stuff. So I definitely expect to see them at least in the top 10 of most GTs, if not the top 8. They'll probably miss one or two steps getting up there.
Right.
Because obviously Admech and Drukhari still exist.
Nope, I still think they'll do quite well. So, anything, other thoughts that we may have missed on this?
Not about the data slate, but if people are interested in catching the actual coverage from the Akatio Onslaught, I know Smite Club on YouTube streamed every single round, and you can actually go back and watch Tyler Hepler's game out on round 5 to take the entire tournament, along with several other rounds, which had a good variety of armies there. Like, I know we got to see, I think we got to see Orcs on Orcs in round 3.
That's correct. Yep.
And we got to see just a good variety of armies on the stream table. So I would recommend you guys go to that YouTube channel and watch those games. And let's see how the meta develops here, because obviously the meta is ever-changing.
Certainly is. Also fun to watch some of the top players and see how they act. So good to take notes and watching them play. Mm. Good commentary there from my co-captain, Matt, to keep you abreast of all the changes in the game. So yeah, all good stuff. Did not get a chance to talk about the most popular new item for Christmas, which would be the Warhammer-scented candles. Not sure. I am still baffled by that. That's actually a thing, but okay. And in other funnier news, my Halloween costume arrived this week.
Okay, Cypher.
So, yeah. So, I have to admit, it looks really cool. It is super comfortable. And I was a little worried about getting a hoodie here in Arizona where it's 900,000 degrees during the summer. But it's fairly lightweight. So, I would have been a great Halloween costume had it not shown up 11 days after the holiday. But anyway, it's here.
So, I will be safe for next year.
Take it with you when you go up to Vegas.
You know, everybody's telling me that, so I have to talk to a couple of. So I'm thinking about this because my ITC season's kind of in the poop anyway. You know, I have zero events that count at this point. I have a couple league games with Drakari, so I'll be just like one other Drakari player, even though it's been the army I've been playing since the end of 5th. So do I bring my usual army, or do I go just completely bunkers and play take a fallen army? Wear the costume.
I mean, I'm not against you taking a fallen army. If for some reason you end up getting paired to me round 1 with either custodes or orcs, I'm not going to feel sorry, because it's going to be funny.
Even so I was looking at the army and I was like, yeah, even funnier too.
Oh yeah, no. If I lost a fallen, I'd be like, nope, dropping Femel VO. I'm going home. Bye.
So anyway, if anybody has ideas on a fallen army, I have got an idea. I just haven't had a chance to put finger to battle scribe yet and make it work. But I might just bring back my old 5th edition list. So, which was great for killing Grey Knights back then, but mechanics have changed a little bit since 5th edition, so I don't think it will work the same, but the concept would be still the same, so I don't know. I have to think about this. But yes, the costume finally showed up, so I'm like, yay! That's for putting Thanksgiving stuff up. All right, awesome.
Anyway, so not a lot of movement in the ITC top 10. We'll be monitoring that and put out another post later in the week. In the meantime, if you guys have any other thoughts on the meta, you can hit us up on our Facebook page. Always love to hear from you guys and fun to respond and get some discourse going. So look for that on our Facebook page. Beyond that, gentlemen, any other parting thoughts before we take a leave for the evening?
Don't believe so.
No. Yep, I'm a pretty content orc.
All right. So yeah, embrace the balance. Life is good. So with that, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And I'm Robert.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.